Hey there, this is Chris Brown with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. And before we get started, I've got an interesting fact here for you. Did you know that the average American spends 13 hours preparing and filing their taxes? Well, that is way too long. One of our endorsed local providers can help you with your taxes in only 2 hours. Go to stewardship.com and click on Find an ELP to find a tax advisor in your area to help you simplify your tax returns this year. Again, that's stewardship.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to the show. I don't know if you're listening on the radio or on the website or on the podcast, but either way, so thankful that you're joining us today for today's episode. Folks, I don't know if you know this or not. Hopefully you do by now. We're sitting here almost in the middle of February. It is time. It's time to get your taxes together. And I highly recommend you get in touch with an ELP, with an endorsed local provider, our trusted tax specialist, who can get roughly $800 more for you in your tax refunds. So get more details at stewardship.com by clicking on Find an ELP. Again, that's stewardship.com. Of course, our phone lines are always open at 866-357-3283. We love it when you call in. That's 866-357-3283. And if you can't get in on any particular day on the show, feel free to leave a voicemail, and we will make sure that we get back with you. We know that the call volume is high, but keep trying, and we're wanting to speak to you as soon as possible. Also, you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Today, I want to tell you about a big problem, a huge problem that we need to realize as we're on this stewardship journey. We have one problem that may be news to you, and that is that the world's way of handling money does not match up at all with the way that the Bible tells us to handle money. I don't know. Is that news to you? And we see this in America being modeled all the way at the top with a $19 trillion debt. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's $158,000 per taxpayer. That's a lot of money. Of course, we see it on TV. We see it in print. Our friends, our family, we even see it in ourselves. The world's way of handling money is different than the Bible's way of handling money. And that's the reason why we have this show. Now, obviously, this show is not about bashing what we are not about, but rather trying to spread a message of what we are for, not against. It's called the displacement theory. We're washing out the yuckiness with fresh, clean water and through encouragement and through hope. The Bible says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what this show is all about. And although we're not necessarily lumping all of this, the world's way of handling wealth and handling money into this category of evil, I have no doubts the devil is using this to be a huge distraction in our lives. Don't you think? He doesn't want us to live this abundant life that God wants for us. Of course, we know that we don't fight against flesh and blood. And I can tell you, there is nothing that the enemy wants more than to get us and the government distracted on paying bills, on debt, just survival. And, the devil doesn't want us to have any margin at all in our lives. So in many of our lives and many organizations, the devil's being successful. Now, if you're new to this show, you may have not heard me tell my story before. And a quick version to the financial side of my story is that I listened to Larry Burkett and Dave Ramsey at a very early age. And, I put the stuff that we're teaching, stuff that we're teaching today, stuff that we teach every day here, Monday through Friday on the show. I put it into practice. And folks, it worked. It worked significantly. Now, Holly and I started off our marriage doing very well for ourselves. And And then in 2007 and 2008, I got into real estate investing. And if you haven't heard this before, you already know where I'm going. But we started off using cash, like we teach. And the Bible teaches to use cash, not borrowing. So we did that. Then I decided to get greedy. And I borrowed $1 million to flip houses. $1 million. What the world teaches. I mean, the world teaches, you know, it's sophisticated to go out and borrow at 5 to 8% so that you can make 15 to 18%. It's called debt leveraging. And I did that right before the recession. And folks, the homes, they never flipped. And consequently, we paid mortgage payments on vacant homes until we ran out of all of our capital in January of 2011 and had to file bankruptcy. Since that one bad, greedy month, we have been clawing back, managing God's resources, God's way, and for God's glory. And are now, check this out, a year away, a year away from being at baby step 7 by paying for a home in cash. That's right. If you're new to this show, you heard me right. The host of this show and the heart of this show has no condemnation to anybody's financial journey because, as you can see, I have been clawing back right there with you. Folks, we're in this together. Actually, I have not spoken with any of you yet who have messed up as bad as I did. And nobody has called in yet with about a negative $300,000 financial net worth like me at age 33. What a loser, right? Oh my goodness. Just saying that out loud just makes me cringe. It's been an interesting 5 years clawing back. But the point is that God's way of handling money yielded much different results, and it happens in people's lives every day. And there's a problem with that. What's the problem? The average family that learns about this stuff, God's way of handling money in Financial Peace University, has an $8,000 swing in their finances in just the first 90 days. They pay off all non-mortgage debt in less than 24 months when the average in the world is 6 years to pay off their consumer debt. They start giving more. So Chris, what's the problem with all this? That's a problem? Folks, the problem is that this stuff works. So the problem is that we will become wealthy. If you're diligent and you're wise with your income, you will become wealthy. No matter who you are or where you're starting from, you will at some point become one of those rich people. You'll become one of those rich people. Uh-oh. I've seen it more times than I can count. Just recently, a 100-year-old woman made a $7 million donation to her alma mater after, check this out, retiring as a secretary for 43 years. God's way of handling money, folks, works. You know, when I look at the 2,350 verses in the Bible that talk about money and talk about possessions, there are a lot of different concepts and principles to consider. The Bible speaks directly to concepts like diversification, which you've heard on this show, compound interest, even co-signing. The Bible talks about saving, investing, giving, tithing, avoiding debt. And then also in the Bible, there's foundational concepts like entitlement, the opposite of entitlement, contentment, having a generous heart. And after careful review of all these scriptures, we have these baby steps that should guide us through our financial journey. Just as a recap, just give you some structure to this conversation. Baby step one, we have to make sure that we avoid going any further in the hole. We have to save in a $1,000 emergency fund. So when that next emergency happens, we don't have to go any further into debt. And once that is in play, we now go on to baby step two. We get rid of all debt using the debt snowball technique. You say, Chris, what is a debt snowball? Well, find out more at stewardship.com. And then we go to baby step three. We build that starter emergency fund of $1,000 to now 3 to 6 months of expenses in case of a larger emergency. And that brings us to baby step four, where we're now stable. We can start looking to the future. So we start investing 15% of our household income towards long-term retirement. And once we have that set up every month, then we're ready for baby step number five. We put money away for future college costs for our children, if that applies. And some of you say, no way. Well, that's okay. You know, not all of us have to, you know, provide money for college funding for our kids. That's fine. Depends on your philosophy there, but that's where it would go if you decide to. Then we pay off our 15-year fixed mortgage in baby step number six. And then all what is left, that's all that's left, is baby step seven. And that is to build wealth and give. That's baby step seven. Because we don't have any payments, which is awesome. And why are we doing this? Why are we building wealth? So we can pass it to the next generation, like Proverbs 13:22 tells us. And so we can continue to give in a sustainable way, not just for 6 months, but we'd continue to be able to give for years and years and years. So there's a review of the baby steps. The first three baby steps are all about taking control of your money. In those steps, you're correcting bad behaviors, you're getting out of debt, you're putting some money in the bank, and basically, you're cleaning up a mess. And those months or years can be tense, but they're crucial to changing your legacy. Once you hit baby step four, you start to feel a different kind of tension. For maybe the first time, you're able to relax a little bit. You're able to take a breath or realize that you're actually in a position now to build wealth. And that's when you start facing a whole new set of questions in your head. And that's what we'll talk about in just a moment. You know, people always love saving money anywhere they can, especially when it comes to their taxes. But does filing yourself save the most money? Have you ever tried that, to file yourself? Did it save you money? Well, according to the IRS, people save an average of 11 hours by filing with a tax advisor versus people who file on their own. 11 hours. Research also reveals that people who self-file receive roughly $800 less in refunds than those who file with a tax professional. $800. If you want to get the most out of your tax refund this year, work with one of our endorsed local providers. They're qualified tax professionals with the heart of a teacher who will work hard to get every deduction that you deserve, saving you both time and saving you money. So to connect with a tax advisor in your area, go to stewardship.com, click find an ELP. Again, go to stewardship.com and click find an ELP today.
Thank you for joining us on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Well, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. My name is Chris Brown. I'm your host. And today we're talking all about the problem with God's way of handling money. Kind of a weird title, right, to the show? The problem with God's way of handling money. So you see, you know, as we were talking earlier, you see there's a different process that works alongside the baby steps. And, you know, we talked about the baby steps, but now I want to introduce you to this different process. It's called Now, Then, Us, Them. You're going to go through four major phases in your stewardship journey. You're going to start off with now, then you're going to move to then, and then after that, you're going to move to us. And then after that, you're going to move to them. And I'm going to explain what those different phases mean. And many of you probably feel like you get lost in the why behind the order of the baby steps. And if you feel like you feel like you get lost with what exactly does it mean to manage our finances God's way and for His glory. You've heard me say that many times. You're like, what does that mean? And many of this might, you know, many of you just might read one verse or a couple verses and think, well, I shouldn't be paying off my debt, but I should just be outrageously giving all my money away. After all, preacher said that God was the ultimate giver. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. But that was the point of that sermon, without considering everyone's entire stewardship journey and what the entire Bible says about how we handle our finances. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And in order for us to live out all these scriptures, we need to get this right. For there to be any overflow in our lives, we need to make sure that there's something to even flow at all. Of course, this doesn't mean that our families all need to have mansions before we start outrageously giving either. You know, Holy Spirit-led ratios come into play, and he lets us know when we're out of balance. He does want us to enjoy the fruits of our labor, but he also wants us to give, and he also wants us to manage it. And there's a tension between all this. I realize that. Isn't it frustrating sometimes that he doesn't just tell us what those ratios are? It'd be so much easier, right? But perhaps that is exactly the point. And we get the answers when we seek him. We get the answers when we converse with him, when we have a relationship with him. Perhaps it's not about the money anyway. It's not about the amount, but the heart and the ratio. The percentage is just an external metric of the heart. I got deep on you there, didn't I? I'm sorry about that. But anyway, so we focus on getting the mess cleaned up in baby steps 1 through 3. And then as you start getting into baby steps 4 through 6, you start thinking about then. You start thinking about the future. What do we want to do in the future? What is the vision of this family? What do we want our legacy to be? You start investing for retirement. You start putting money away for the envisioned college of choice. You start paying off the house in baby step 6 to try to be freed up from all the payments. As you're doing this, you start to change your focus from tactical to more personal by focusing on us. You've gone through now and then, and now it's time to focus on us, this third phase. Are the kids going to know how to handle this wealth? Is their character where it needs to be? What further molding do they need? Now, of course, we are to be tithing and being generous all along the entire journey, but it is at baby step number 7. It's at that place where we change the focus to them, this fourth phase. And it's all about how outrageously can I touch as many lives as possible with all this financial margin and with all this time margin. Now listen, this step doesn't mean 70 years old either, by the way. I speak with 40-year-olds all the time, 50-year-olds that are in this step. They're in baby step 7, having the time of their lives. And yes, you heard me right, in their 40s. Why? How? Because of the big problem. Remember the big problem? This stuff works, and we have to be ready when it does. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, actually 17, 18, and 19 says this. Apostle Paul writes this in his letter to Timothy. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now check this out. How do we handle wealth? Verse 18. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Folks, our hearts have to be ready to handle the wealth. Have to be, because this stuff works. We have seen wealth not handled in a godly way, and you're not off the hook. You think that, oh, those verses were for the rich. If you're listening to this, you are likely rich. Most of you listening are in the top 1% of the world's wealth. Nobody's told you that in a while, huh? Most of you listening are in the top 1% of the world's wealth. Soak that in for a minute. Won't that make you read the camel through an eye of a needle passage with a little more context, right? So the problem is that this stuff works, and there is a responsibility that comes with that. We not only have to be generous, like so many verses tell us, but we also need to know that we got to do it all in a scalable way by instituting the parable of the talents that we see in Matthew 25 and living out Proverbs 21:20 that tells us to save, and Proverbs 13:22 as well that talks to us about leaving some behind to the next generation and generations, all while avoiding debt, like Proverbs 22:7 tells us and Romans 13:8 tells us. Now, that may seem overwhelming for you. Those are a lot of things to consider. Remember, we don't do all these things to check them off a list and to get stars on a report card. We just grow closer to Him, love Him more, and He reveals Himself more and more as we grow. He uses things like this show in our lives to reveal more and more of His heart and His will for us as we grow. Again, there is no condemnation with all this. We serve a very forgiving God, full of grace and mercy. But He also expects us to respond to His truth and to run after Him upon hearing the truth. So many of us are looking for a magical financial nugget or an inside tip to jumpstart our portfolio. The bottom line is, the tip, it's sitting right there on the end table at night. Right there in the scriptures, 2,350 verses about money and possessions. The word is powerful. The word is an instruction manual for us. And the problem with all that is that it works. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." Folks, that includes your finances. James 1:22. Check this out, because you're listening on the radio. You're hearing. James 1:22, he puts it down pretty hard. "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord." Joshua 1:8, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it on day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." 1 Corinthians tells us, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Isaiah 55, "So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty or return void, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." And Colossians chapter 3, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Folks, the problem with God's way of handling money is it works, and it's right there in the word of God. Folks, it has been a pleasure today. So glad that you're listening in. Be sure to get the most from your tax refund by using an ELP tax advisor. You heard me talk about that earlier. Just visit stewardship.com and click on Find an ELP. While you're there, at stewardship.com, sign up for our weekly newsletter to receive encouragement on stewarding your life for God's glory. I'm not sure when the last time you went to stewardship.com. Of course, it's an incredible free resource for you. But on that website, right there on the main page, is a section called Chris Recommends. And in that section, it is pretty much anything that I would discuss or bring up on this broadcast. So anything from articles that I've written or articles that other writers have written, or maybe it be Rachel Cruz or Chris Hogan or Christy Wright or Dave Ramsey, they're articles that are right there under Chris Recommends. Also is more information about Financial Peace University, or you've heard me say ELPs or endorsed local providers. Also, Legacy Journey, Smart Money, Smart Kids. The team has put together this one section to make it easy for you. Chris Recommends at stewardship.com. And finally, Friday, Lisa Turkhurst from Proverbs 31 Ministries will be joining us, and it's an interview that you do not want to miss. Folks, it's been a pleasure. Till next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.